Bill brought up a good point that, you know, you might have written this a little bit different if instead of calling it joy suckers, if I'd called it people who you walk away, it's like, wow, I'm kind of tired. I'm worn out. Instead of I'm energized. Because it's true. The more mature you get, the less people are able to remove your joy and suck joy out of you. But you can certainly have the energy taken out of you by various people. Okay, so the third C is character. And you can fake character in ministry. You can fake, you can see it with your kids where they can fake submission and fake all kinds of character issues. And character is not simply reflected in actions. It's also reflected in attitudes, motives, inner thoughts. And what happens is that character frequently, true character, is shown up under trials, persecutions, pressures, sleep loss. There's any number of kinds of issues that will show the true you beginning to come forward. And what you need to do as parents is seize those opportunities and say, you know why you got angry there, even under pressure when it's easier, or even when you're going through your period. You know, the daughters many times will excuse it. Well, it's PMS, you know. No, you don't excuse anger. Even during PMS, you can be on top of those character issues and not be sassy and not be getting angry real easily. Let me show you how. And you begin to instruct them on that. The reason you seize the opportunity when it happens is that's when they're most motivated, and it's going to be most likely the time when the Spirit of God is going to be convicting them about that. If you do it in the abstract, it's just theoretical. And theoretical lessons don't tend to be learned very well by any of us. It's when you need the lesson that you're most motivated to take that on. And so take advantage of those difficult times that the kids are going through. And really what it is, it's just like you're carrying a cup of coffee and you get bumped. What comes out of the cup? It's the coffee that comes out of the cup. And what's inside of you comes out when you get bumped in those pressure type of situations. And sometimes it'll be shocking to the kids. I had no idea I was so selfish. Well, now that they have an idea that they're selfish, you can begin to work on the selfishness. So see them as great opportunities for growing up. And like I said earlier, don't pamper even the persecuted child. Every one of the children that's involved in the conflict can grow in Christ. 1 Timothy 3:10 insists that leaders must first be tested, and then, if there is nothing against them, let them serve. Okay, so this is the thing that we're going through. Now, when some people think of character, all they think about is following certain rules, and there are rules that are involved, but if the only thing that we do with our children when they disobey is reinforce the rule, discipline them for the rule, and say, cut it out, we're going to turn them into little Pharisees, because Pharisees were very good at outward obedience, but they were inwardly still full of corruption. They'd never dealt with the heart issues, and it's out of the heart that all of these sins come. And when I say motive, just read everything that's going on inside of a person, everything that's going on that's manifested in the facial expressions of a child who's obeying you but doing it with a real sour face, and say, no, you're being disciplined for that, because that is evidencing quite clearly that you are still in rebellion against your dad, even though you're outwardly doing it. I want you to do this sweetly, with a smile, with a yes, sir. I want you to do it promptly. I want you to do it fast. We're going to go through boot camp until you learn this. And through that discipline, God's Spirit takes it and starts to transform the inner man of that child. Now, let me give you an illustration that'll put you some meat and bones onto this. And we're just going to take communication. There are all kinds of rules that govern communication, and if you want to teach your kids how to communicate properly, I've got a handout about this big that gives some of the main rules governing communication. How do we communicate? What situations, with what attitudes, with what bodily postures should we be communicating? But here is just one little rule. Proverbs 25:11 says, a word fitly spoken. It's not just that it's truth, but it's spoken in the right way. It's following the rules. Then Ephesians 4:29 says it needs to be also a rule that has the right motive. Now, there's many different motives that the Bible talks about, but one motive is that I want to impart grace to the hearer. I don't want to be tearing him down. I want to be building him up. So Ephesians 4:29, the motive. Then one example of a proper situation, a word spoken in due season, how good it is. So it's not just that it's spoken in truth and with a right motive, but it's at the right time. There are times where you tell your kids, this is not the time to be talking about that, you know, at the dinner table of all things. Of course, I need to learn that rule. I say some pretty gross things sometimes at the table. Oh, yeah, people do have sensitive stomachs. I shouldn't be talking about dead dogs and, you know, things like that. But we do need to teach our kids that there is appropriate times to speak various truthful things and inappropriate times. And even with the PMS illustration that I gave earlier, it's probably good to tell your son, us guys don't go through this, but you just need to be sensitive. Once a month, your sister is probably going to get a little bit more emotional than other times, and it's not about you. You don't need to feel, what did I do? It's nothing about you. It's probably just that she's feeling more emotional. Here is how you can relate to her during those times. Don't be saying this then. Say that maybe 2 days down the road, you know? So, the situation. So that's, for any issue to be, or any communication to be truly a God-given, Spirit-given communication, it needs to follow the right rule, have the right motive, and be in the right situation. Okay, got that? Now, let's take a look at another example of that. Somebody have a Bible? Or read Proverbs 27, verse 14. Trevor's got a big, loud voice. Proverbs 27 and verse 14.
Proverbs 27:14. He who blessed his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it will be counted a curse to him.
Okay. So, does the Bible give rules about blessing one another? Yeah, it says it's a good thing to bless. Sometimes even to bless with a loud voice, right? But when you bless that person at 2 a.m., it's usually the wrong situation. Unless you're a military guy and they have to get up at 2 a.m., you know. Usually it's just like, what are you doing? And if the motive is, I just want to irritate my brother or sister. Hey, I was just doing a nice thing. I said the right thing. I said, the Lord bless you. Yeah, right, son. You were doing it to irritate your brother. You can do even right things with the wrong motive. Does that make sense? So it's more than just rules that our children need to follow. Here's another example. If you've got your Bible open there, Trevor, Proverbs 21, verse 27. And what happened there? Oh, I don't have power cord plugged in. Let's, could you pause this for a second?
Is that the power cord? That's not working.